Now let me read again, beginning at verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are ended, now apparently they're coming to an end, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall come forth to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down out of heaven and devoured them, just as Sodom and Gomorrah went up in smoke. Now, the entire book of Revelation deals with last things, especially do these last few chapters. Here is the last rebellion of Satan and man against God. The millennium, you see, is a time of testing of man under ideal conditions. And as this passage demonstrates, now as soon as Satan is released, a great company who have been under the personal reign of Christ under ideal circumstances goes over to him. From where did such a company come? And that's a good question. The answer lies in the fact that not only do multitudes enter the millennium, but multitudes are born during the millennium. Isaiah 11:6, 65:20. I don't have time to turn to those passages. Now, this will be the time of the earth's greatest population explosion. Disease will be eliminated. The curse of sin removed from the physical earth, and it will produce enough foodstuff to feed its greatest population. And the human heart alone remains unchanged under these circumstances. And many will still turn their back on God and will go after Satan. It seems unbelievable, you say. Well, what about today? Satan's doing pretty well in our day. Now, we explain this rebellion after the millennium as revealing how terrible the heart of man is. And you remember Jeremiah said, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you and I do not really know how vile we really are and how separated we are, and that we have an old nature. And that old nature, you just can't bring it into subjection to God at all. The carnal mind, Paul said in Romans 8:7, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, these are folk that have lived under ideal conditions with Christ reigning. And I think they got a little tired of it, very frankly. I think when he reigns, as we've said, he's really going to be a dictator. You're going to stay in line or else. And they didn't like staying in line. And therefore, when the opportunity was offered to them to rebel, why, they rebel. And it reveals the power of Satan. And there followed them. Now, the rebellion is labeled Gog and Magog. Now, many Bible students identify it with the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, very candidly, I think this is just due to the fact that the names are the same. But this is not possible at all, for the conditions described are not parallel as to time, as to place, are participants. Only the name is the same. The invasion from the north by Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38 and 39 breaks the false peace of the Antichrist and causes him to show his hand in the midst of the great tribulation. Now, that rebellion of the godless forces from the north will have made such an impression on mankind that after 1,000 years, the last rebellion of man bears the same label. In other words, that began Armageddon, really. It was a war, not just a single battle. Now, we have passed, I think, through a similar situation in this century. World War I was so devastating that when war broke out in Europe again, and included many of the same nations and even more, it was labeled again World War. It was the same name, but it was differentiated by the number 2. World War I, World War II. And now you hear people today predicting World War III. And the scripture says it's coming on this earth. Now the war in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is Gog and Magog, number one. And the reference here in verse 8 is to Gog and Magog, number two. Just because the names are the same. This is a different war. This is the last rebellion of Satan. And I'm sure that just because they bear the same name does not mean that they are the same. In my family, there were so many Johns on both sides of the family that my mother decided that I should be J. Vernon McGee. The J, many people ask, which stands for John. And I never was called John because there were too many Johns around. That doesn't sound good, but that's exactly what it was. And so I was named J. Vernon. Now, just because we had similarity in names doesn't mean we're the same person. I had an uncle on one side, an uncle named John. I had a grandfather named John. In fact, two grandfathers named John. And my dad's name was John. So you can understand why I bear that name of J. Vernon. It had to be separated from that crowd. Now, we have here in verse 9 the dropping of the last atomic bomb. The phrase here, from God, is actually not in the best text. It simply means that natural forces which destroyed Gog and Magog number 1, and if you'll check back with it, you'll see that it was natural forces, it will destroy Gog and Magog number 2. You can check. Actually, there were certain plagues that God brought on them. There was the rain of hailstones from heaven. Now, this last rebellion and resistance against God was as foolish and futile as man's first rebellion in the Garden of Eden. Here, it is not the beginning, but the ending of man's disobedience to God. It is the finality of man's rebellion. Nothing remains now but the final judgment.